This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mudin, your host. I weigh in every week on health topics, all about health, wellness, nutrition. Sometimes I rant about certain fake news, especially where it regards health, particularly scientific research that is questionable, as we're seeing more and more of. And if you've read Dr. Hoffman's article on intelligent medicine, why so much health news is fake, it is true. If you don't subscribe to our newsletter, you can do so. Go to drhoffman.com and subscribe. But all of our newsletter articles are then posted on the website. So visit drhoffman.com so you can read those articles as well. For those of you who want to email me a question or a topic that you think is relevant or of concern, you can email to radioprogram@aol.com. That's radioprogram@aol.com. I'd like to start. I've got an email from Mickey. Mickey writes, Layla, is there a fallout from drinking too much sparkling water? Does the body absorb CO2? And what, if any, is the effect? We actually answered this question, a similar question, Mickey, on Q&A with Layla. That's the weekly podcast I do with Dr. Hoffman. A lot of people are asking this question, so let me just break it down a bit. So is carbonated water bad for us? Well, it's a refreshing beverage. It's a great alternative to soda, Crystal Light, anything with artificial sweeteners or real sweeteners in it, like high fructose corn syrup and sugar, and so forth. So carbonated water, what is it? It's been infused with carbon dioxide gas under pressure. And it produces the bubbly, which is known as soda water, club soda, sparkling water, seltzer, all of that. And with the exception of seltzer, which really has no sodium at all, carbonated waters usually have salt added to improve the taste, and sometimes small amounts of other minerals are included. Natural sparkling waters, San Pellegrino is one of my favorites, by the way. Perrier is a close second. And these waters are captured from a spring, a mineral spring, and they tend to contain minerals as well as sulfur compounds, and these are lightly carbonated as well, right? So carbonated water, carbon dioxide and water react chemically to produce carbonic acid. It's a weak acid that's been shown to stimulate the same nerve receptors in your mouth as mustard. So think about that when you eat mustard, those same taste buds that are stimulated, right? Same thing going on with carbonated water. So that triggers that prickly sensation on your tongue, which can be enjoyable. I'll tell you, back in the day, over 10 years ago, when I was a bit of a Diet Coke addict, it was hard to break that, but the transition to seltzer water from soda worked really well because some of that crave is for that prickly carbonation on the tongue. It can be quite enjoyable, and that really helped. So the pH of carbonated water is like between a 3 and a 4, which means it's slightly acidic, but it doesn't make our bodies more acidic. You know, our lungs, kidneys remove excess carbon dioxide from the body, and we, our bodily pH, our serum pH, is a slightly alkaline, very tightly controlled pH of between 7.3 and 7.4, regardless of what you eat or drink. So this is really something that we need to keep in mind, that we need to keep in mind. So carbonated water, here's the problem. It's not the CO2 in seltzer or sparkling water that's problematic. It's the phosphoric acid in regular soda, your colas. Let me name some: Coke, Pepsi, maybe Mountain Dew, maybe some of the other ones. The phosphoric acid is actually terrible for the bones. It leaches calcium. Okay. So, mineral water, regular mineral sparkling water, is way less damaging to our bodies. And let's talk about dental health for a minute. That one of the big concerns about sparkling water is the effect on teeth, since enamel is directly exposed to acid, right? In one study, it was shown that carbonated beverages showed strong potential to destroy enamel, but only if they had sugar in it. So we're talking about regular soda. We're not talking about seltzer water. We're not talking about mineral water. In fact, a non-carbonated beverage called Gatorade, you all have heard of that one, was actually more harmful than a carbonated sugar-free drink, which was Diet Coke. That's a very interesting comparison right there. So sugar-sweetened and non-carbonated beverages result in significantly greater enamel loss, enamel on your teeth. So it's the combination of sugar and carbonation that may lead to severe dental decay, but I think it's really more about the sugar than anything. So it's only about the sugary types that are harmful. Be more concerned, if you're a regular soda drinker, about that phosphoric acid. The CO2 does not leach calcium from your bones. It's the phosphoric acid, which is terrible for that. And by the way, carbon dioxide is a byproduct of our metabolism. The byproduct of our metabolism, you know, glycolysis, fatty acid metabolism, electron transport chain, Krebs cycle, all of that, not necessarily in that order that I just gave you. But the byproduct of that metabolism is CO2 and water, that we exhale the CO2, right? And by the way, Mickey, just as a point of interest, our bodies make the greatest amount of CO2 in relation to the amount of carbohydrates we eat. The more carbs we eat, the more carbon dioxide our bodies make. It's because of glycolysis, that blood sugar burning metabolism. Okay? So that's why for anybody with COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, emphysema, chronic bronchitis, all of those, it's often more difficult not just to inhale, but to exhale, to get rid of that carbon dioxide. So a typical COPD diet, it's not typical. I wish they'd use it in hospitals. They don't. I tried to instill that in the hospital I worked in over 13 years ago, but didn't work out very well because they're still so afraid of fat. A high-fat, low-carb diet is a wonderful way to decrease the burden on the lungs. So it greatly reduces CO2. So don't be concerned about the CO2 in your sparkling water. Be concerned about the phosphoric acid. Now, to turn this on its head a little bit, I want to talk to you about a recent article I've read that says rising CO2 could increase nutrient deficiency risk. So rising levels of carbon dioxide from human activity are making staple crops such as rice and wheat less nutritious and could result in 175 million people becoming zinc deficient and 122 million people becoming protein deficient by the year 2050, according to new research led by Harvard Chan School of Public Health in Boston, Massachusetts. That's interesting because we already know that our soil is more zinc and selenium deficient because of commercial farming practices. That's actually, it's unfortunate. You don't get that with organic practices, but the way the soil is being tilled brings deficiency in zinc and selenium. So now this is very interesting about the this association with CO2 in the air and causing zinc deficiency and possible protein deficiency by the year 2050. So the study was published August 27th in Nature Climate Change, also found that more than 1 billion women and children could lose a large amount of their dietary iron intake, putting them at risk of anemia and other diseases. Sam Myers, MD, the lead author, says, "Our research makes it clear that decisions we are making every day, how we heat our homes, what we eat, how we move around, what we choose to purchase, are making our food less nutritious and imperiling the health of other populations and future generations. Presently, more than 2 billion people worldwide are estimated to be deficient in one or more nutrients. In general, humans tend to get a majority of key nutrients from plants. 63% of dietary protein comes from vegetable sources, as well as 81% of iron and 68% of zinc." Now, you want to remember, the iron from vegetable sources is not readily available because of the phytic acid and the phytates. So, but again, we're talking about world consumption here. It's been shown that higher atmospheric levels of CO2 result in less nutritious crop yields, with concentrations of protein, iron, and zinc being 3 to 17% lower when crops are grown in environments where CO2 concentrations are 550 parts per million ppm, compared with crops grown under current atmospheric conditions in which CO2 levels are just above 400 ppm parts per million. So, for this new study, researchers sought to develop the most robust and accurate analysis of the global health burden of CO2-related nutrient shifts in crops in 151 countries. To do so, they created a unified set of assumptions across all nutrients and used more detailed age and sex-specific food supply data sets to improve estimates of the impact across 225 different foods. We're getting into the weeds here. So they're using a set of unified assumptions and things. We have to be careful here. And certain data sets, you have to ask the question, how were these data sets agreed to, obtained, etc.? What are these unified assumptions? What are they based on? How much rigor was here? And the study was built on previous analyses by the researchers on CO2-related nutritional deficiencies, which looked at fewer foods and fewer countries. And the study showed that by the middle of this century, when atmospheric CO2 concentrations are expected to reach around 550 ppm, 1.9% of the global population, or roughly 175 million people, based on 2050 population estimates, could become deficient in zinc, and that 1.3% of the global population, or 122 million people, could become protein deficient. Additionally, 1.4 billion women of childbearing age and children under 5 who are currently at high risk of iron deficiency could have their dietary iron intakes reduced by 4% or more. The researchers also emphasized that billions of people currently living with nutritional deficiencies would likely see their conditions worsen as a result of less nutritious crops. So, according to the study, India would bear the greatest burden, with an estimated 50 million people becoming zinc deficient, 38 million people becoming protein deficient, and 502 million women and children becoming vulnerable to diseases associated with iron deficiency. Other countries in South Asia, Southeast Asia, Africa, and the Middle East would also be significantly impacted. This comes through integrativepractitioner.com. That's integrativepractitioner.com. And it's very interesting. And, you know, Mickey, thank you for emailing me your question about CO2 and sparkling water and all that. And then I came this other one about the rising CO2 in our atmosphere could increase nutrient deficiency. I think this needs to be looked at further. And I think that also has to do with our farming practices more than anything, because we know commercial farming practices are already creating deficiency or have created deficiency. If you analyze our soil today to our soil from 100, 150, 200 years ago, you're going to find a lot higher nutrient quality. So it's all very interesting. And you know what? More of a reason to take your multivitamins. As far as proteins, I think high biological value protein is still superior. Eggs, you know, meat, poultry, fish, all of these. Other complete sources of protein are soy, which I'm not a big fan because it's a goitrogen. We're concerned about the phytoestrogens one day. We're less concerned about the phytoestrogens the next day. The jury is still out. But hemp protein is another. And for those of you going even further, hey, have you tried cricket? Yeah, we're talking about bugs. It's the new protein. Cricket flour products. I've seen protein bars made of cricket flour. I confess I've not tried these myself. I'll stick to my varied animal proteins that I get grass-fed and organic and free range and all of that other good kind of stuff. So this is really all the good for you protein sources. But it's very interesting about the CO2. And apparently this came out of the journal. Let's see here. What was it called? Nature Climate Change, which is interesting. Climate change is different than global warming. We are always in climate change. I mean, the climate was different during the dinosaur era, for example. I believe there might have been higher CO2 in the atmosphere then. So there's a lot of questions about climate change, and it's not the same as global warming, which may be somewhat different. But it is true that farming practices do cause the deficiencies in soil and all of that. These are things to always keep in mind. And I will always be looking at this research further. and bringing it to you here on Intelligent Medicine. So, Mickey, thank you very much for this very thoughtful question. I hope I've gone in depth enough. Don't be afraid of your sparkling water. I like it. I love mineral water, especially Pellegrino. You get some other minerals in there, some sulfur compounds, all good. Good for the gut as well. And thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Healthy Aging, providing you with the unique energy support of Pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years with a 45-day money-back guarantee of nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.